Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four, hang out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Tuesday. That means Tommy White, Labor's local 872 business manager, joining us in studio. They are the ones that are building Allegiant Stadium. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later on, but I want to begin on a little bit of a somber note. This, of course, the anniversary of 1 October. The tragedy at the Mandalay Bay and the Harvest Festival. None of us, I think, this to me is like some of the major events that happened. You remember where you were. I remember I was watching at home, and Adam Housley all of a sudden was wandering the streets outside of the Harvest Festival, talking with people with blood all over them, and it was horrible. Where were you, and what were you doing?
I was actually home also, and... Believe it or not, I was listening when they first came on saying that there was a shooting on Las Vegas Boulevard. I was listening to the rest of it, what took place on a scanner. So it was a very scary night. I to listen to it, I mean, if I was very fortunate to listen to it on a scanner, and you heard all these different areas that there was supposedly other shooters.
New York, and different places.
New York, in Tropicana, yeah. And you just start thinking to yourself, what is going on? You know, really, is this really happening on Las Vegas Boulevard? And it was a very sad day, and something that we will not forget. So,
I want to ask you, because you monitored all of this on your scanner, you have a unique perspective that maybe a lot of us don't. We were getting media reports about this or that, or there were reports of this or you know. I'm curious, do you believe the story they've told us, the cops, Metro, the FBI, ATF, all these people? There are a lot of people that I talk to day in, day out that they don't believe it.
Well, you know, I kind of listened to it on the scanner, so I actually believe the way Metro handled it, and because I heard most of it firsthand. You know, all right up into, I mean, what was being played on the scanner was just unbelievable, and it was right up until the individual was taken out. So, I believe Metro did a fantastic job. I think our sheriff, he does a fantastic job, and you know, there was a lot going on for what was going on that night, and you had to be hearing it and listening to it, all these different areas, whether it was possibly other shooters, and then to hear how Metro just came in and did what they do best.
We still don't know why. We don't have the real motive of what this guy's gripe was. Do you get a sense of why? But from an official standpoint, we've never had the reason why this guy spent 1,000 rounds in 10 minutes.
Yeah, even into looking at that. I mean, I guess the thing that bothers me the most out of all of that is okay, we don't know why, but when you're carrying that much weapons and ammo into a hotel and nobody's questioning the amount of bags you're bringing upstairs, that's a problem, right? And the thing is that I kind of looks like that still goes on today. I haven't seen that much security change in a lot of these hotels, and we've even seen it on TV where people get up the elevators and then. But, you know, I mean, that's the one thing that I always just question that the whole thing is how much, you know, when is there going to be a point where somebody realizes, okay, this guy just carried in 18 duffel bags or, you know, nobody's been in his room for 4 or 5 days and he's been able to set up cameras. And there's a lot of things that go on in this world and in this country that you could just ask yourself why, and you'll probably never find out what the true answer is.
Well, and Steve Wynn, though, had a pretty good take on this. And he says, you know what? This would never have happened at a Wynn property. So, somebody doesn't answer the door at the end of a day. We're going to go in with a pass key and find out what's going on.
Yeah.
That this would never have been allowed to happen with a security at the Wynn. Do you believe that?
Yes. I believe that at a Wynn resort at the time when Steve Wynn was running those resorts, and you know, I believe, yes, that probably would have never happened at a Wynn resort.
Did we learn anything? I mean, if you say you haven't seen any real major changes in security, have you seen changes at all, the way we police this, the way... just any changes at all, that anything that we learned from 1 October?
Well, I mean, I'm going off of what I hear from people that stay in the hotels or, you know, family that visits. And I mean, I know there's more security personnel inside the casinos. Maybe they hooked up more cameras, but you still have to question the amount of luggage that someone's bringing into a building. I mean, just imagine, okay, that got caught, right? So how many other things happen in casinos where people bring this amount of luggage in and we don't catch? So, I don't know, maybe the casinos are doing something that we don't know about.
Well, I'm sure a lot of the security stuff they're doing is stuff we're never going to hear about or see. It may not even be noticeable to the naked eye.
Right.
But they're doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just curious... how long do you think it's going to take for all these plaintiffs' attorneys to finish off their business? I mean, there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe $1 billion somewhere down the road. I mean, there were all these people that were impacted.
Yeah, I actually heard probably 2-3 weeks ago that some of those cases are starting to be settled now. So it might not take as long as what we're thinking. You know, I mean, some of these cases you watch out there that with these big lawsuits – over liability, they go on for years. But from what I understand, some of these cases are being settled.
Do you think we will ever learn more about what happened, why it happened? Are there lessons we can learn? Things like that. We ended up with like a 4 or 5 page report from Metro, and I still don't know why this happened or how it happened and what could have been done to prevent this from ever happening again. Obviously, we've taken action on bump stocks and low-hanging fruit. Yep. From a gun control standpoint. Is there anything, though, that you think we will learn out of the discovery on some of these lawsuits that maybe we don't know now?
It's like anything else, Kevin. We always learn something at the end, something different than what we were told from the beginning. And I mean, there's probably some footage out there that we've never seen. Maybe – some individuals have on their phones or something. And I'm hoping that that will be the last shooting that we have like that in Las Vegas. And I think this town is still smart enough to be on top of it and make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Tell me about your night on 1 October.
So after hearing what was going on in the shooting, you know, I knew that I had a couple of my guys were at the Knights game. So I was kind of worried about what was, you know, where everybody was. And I was worried about if my daughters were out, because I know my daughters love going to those outdoor festivals. So, you know, one of the groups that I was worried about also was, you know, the Raiders. They're coming into town. You know, you got the owners here, the executives are here. This is something new to them, these nighttime festivals. So I reached out to the president, and I let him know what was going on and asked if he had anybody there. And probably around 2 o'clock in the morning, after watching, you know, multiple TV stations, news stations, I reached out to the sheriff, and then I reached out to Steve Sisolak, which was, you know, county commission chair at the time. I told him that, you know, laborers have a clinic on West Sahara. I could open it up right away for whatever we need. And we went down and we opened up the clinic, and within 10 minutes, probably by 4 o'clock in the morning, within 10 minutes, we had over 150 people there willing to give blood. And I mean, we weren't able to do it at that site simply because UMC was filled. We needed a doctor at the site to start drawing blood. But we helped shuffle all those people over to United Blood Services over on Charleston. And my staff, a lot of members volunteered that day. You know, they were, you know, flagging cars, unloading cars. I mean, it was a long day. And then the following day after the shooting, we had our union meeting, so we went straight from being out all day long, my volunteers and my staff, we went straight from being out all day long helping at United Blood Services to our union meeting. And that night, Steve Wynn showed up at our union meeting, and he talked about, you know, what happened and how this is going to affect Las Vegas for a long time. And
wow.
It was long. You could see it on our members' faces. It was a long day.
More coming up. Tommy White, business manager, Laborers 872. They're the ones building Allegiant Stadium, and it's looking more and more like a stadium with each passing week. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. Live and local now. For years now, I've been telling you how I love the great smooth taste of Real Water. I also love the convenience and cost savings of their home delivery service. Real Water has upped its game again with Real Water Concentrate. Just a few squirts of the Real Water Concentrate, and you can transform any good purified water into Real Water. To learn more, just go to my website, kevinwallradio.com. That's kevinwallradio.com, and click on the Real Water icon at the top right of the page. Now, you can get Real Water anytime, anyplace, on the go.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Congressman Horsford has us headed in the wrong direction, where criminal illegal immigrants get to stay and our borders remain peace. The only Republican candidate who can defeat Horsford. I proudly served in the military for 20 years and earned a Bronze Star in Afghanistan. I'm devoted to family and am a small business owner. I'm the only candidate who supports building the wall, opposes sanctuary cities, and supports a balanced budget amendment. Please join me in this important campaign by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's sampeters4congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by committee to elect Sam Peters.
It's amazing how time flies. Hey, Kevin Wall here, your host on Live and Local Now and the owner of Battle Born Radio Corp. It was just over 3 years ago that I was dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. I knew my small business would have to move warp speed into this new digital era. That's when I called Sofa King Creative Group. Locally owned and operated, Sofa King Creative Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of clients. Their marketing team provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design project, an engaging mobile-friendly website. What I like best about Sofa King Creative Group, they showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. Let the pros at Sofa King Creative Group help you and your small business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Or check them out at SofaKingCreativeGroup.com. That's SofaKingCreativeGroup.com.
Hi, this is Chelsea Torres, Communications Director with Laborers Union Local 872. Laborers Local 872 is a construction union that strives to obtain more job opportunities for workers and employers. Local 872 is involved in issues that affect our daily lives, from creating good jobs to providing skilled job training, protecting health care, negotiating livable wages, ensuring safe job sites, providing safe neighborhoods for families, and honoring veterans and retirees. Laborers build everything you see on the Las Vegas Strip, from skyscrapers to casinos to stadiums. Laborers work in the tunnels and on the highways. We remediate buildings and make them safe by removing hazardous materials like asbestos and lead. With a legacy of hard work and getting things done, laborers are skilled, productive, proud, and diverse men and women who are building a stronger Nevada. Local 872 loves the Southern Nevada community, and we look forward to continuing to build a better future for all of us. Vegas strong, union proud.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's Live and Local Now. Kevin Wall, Tommy White joining us from, he is the business manager for Laborers 872. And give me a quick update. And I know we try and cover this every couple of 3 weeks. but every week I drive by there and there's something new. I see glass going in. I see all kinds of different things going in. Tell me where we are. Obviously, well under a year now. To opening this thing and playing NFL football games in there and UNLV games. Tell me where we are.
We will start doing the cables that's going to hold up the translucent roof. And you know, as we talked about the stadium, right, I've been on track every single time. Here's where we're going to be. Here's where we're going to be. And, you know, I this is just like a beautiful thing to us. And no matter where you look from where you can see the stadium throughout the city, you see this thing coming out of the ground, and I don't like referring it to as Allegiant Stadium. You know, this is Raider Stadium. This is Las Vegas Stadium.
Come on, hey, Allegiant's paying good money for that, so we call it Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah, I know, but listen, Allegiant should have been there from the very beginning. Then we were there from the very beginning, so we're going to get to choose what we want to call the stadium.
There
right?
you go.
So, but. I get it, you know, but it's something that even just now when we're driving past it, you look over it and you can see how the trim is starting to come on, and you see all the drywall, you see what's taking place inside the stadium now. So we're right on track. The roof is going to look fantastic. It's translucent roof. It's nice that the weather's getting a little bit cooler now.
When does it become fully enclosed?
We will probably be fully enclosed, I'd say, by January.
By January?
Yeah.
And just so people don't worry, obviously this thing's got to pass county codes and city codes.
Every
and
day.
State codes. this is an ongoing process. When you talk about making sure that all the plumbing's going to be the right way.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is every day you have an inspector out there. Not probably one. You have a couple. That parts of the stadium get inspected daily. So this isn't something like we're gonna go build for the next month and then an inspector's gonna show up. So the cables get tested, the steel gets tested, the bolts get tested, everything gets tested out there. So this is gonna just be a fantastic stadium to watch open up, and I look forward to opening day every single week. I say, wow, we're getting closer.
What when you watch the Raiders, like they had the big win over the Ravens, I guess, over the weekend. Yeah. When you watch the Raiders, can you see them in that stadium? I mean, can you transpose that the image that you see now and see it in this big, beautiful new stadium?
Oh yeah, yeah, and I mean, I could actually see the fans in this stadium, right? So I mean, not only do when I look at it, I see the players, or see the owner, and this is the dream of Mark Davis to have a stadium for the Raiders and only the Raiders. Instead of the Raiders and a baseball team. I could see his face and I could see the fans' faces and I could see all what's called the super fans. And this is going to be a great day when we open up that stadium and we have all the fans out there, all the Raider Nation is going to be out there. And we're never going to forget the first day of opening of Raider Stadium.
Are the Raiders playing any overseas games? They
play Monday. I believe Sunday. We're going to play in England. Yeah,
I'm going to play. Are you going?
Chicago Bears. No.
I thought you'd go.
No, I have a union meeting the next day.
Okay. Well,
I have a union meeting on Monday.
Let me just ask you though. At what point will we start seeing the Raiders organization start to move here and set up offices here? And will they do it before the completion of the stadium? Will there be other facilities?
They have
facility, obviously.
Yeah, they have their executive offices here, right off of Las Vegas Boulevard, right now. And once the training facility is built, that's also going to be their executive offices. But the staff, the executives, they're moving here daily. Every couple of weeks, a bunch move in and. They're kind of spread out throughout Las Vegas. And, Henderson's very lucky now to have the training facility. So I see a lot of the employees moving out there. And then they're also hiring a lot of local.
And we like that.
Of course.
That is absolutely dynamite. It's always fun. Always fun. And every time I drive by the stadium, I think of you and I think of your workers. Men and women.
Yep.
It's so cool to see this effort and to see all the cars parked. I always like seeing the cars parked. I know those are construction workers right there. I know.
Working every day.
I love it. Thanks, man. Always
Thank
fun.
Thank you, Kevin.
You gotta love it. This is a stadium that is going up. This is a stadium that's going to be open in less than a year. Tommy White from... Laborers Union 872, the business manager there. Stick around, more to do as we continue. It is Live and Local now. It ain't me.
Talk that rocks.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking education with a guy that knows a lot about it. He spent lots of years in the classroom. He's been a part of charter schools. He has been a champion of school choice. He has been a champion of making sure that your kids get a good education. He is Scott Hammond, state senator, and he'll join us in studio in just a couple of minutes. I wanted you to hear, though, because this... let's go to cut two, because Rudy Giuliani is standing there with the president fighting back There were reports yesterday that three House committees are subpoenaing Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy, the thing I like about Rudy is he's willing to fight. And he was fighting last night on Hannity, fighting back against House committees and subpoenas and all of that. Here was Rudy Giuliani with Sean Hannity last night.
They seem to forget that I'm a lawyer. If I were defending a terrorist, they'd be going crazy that I was called before a Senate committee. All those civil liberties groups would be saying, right to counsel. How can they intimidate a lawyer in his fearless pursuit of trying to find justice? I was not involved in any election, anything. This started 2 years before the election. It started and ended pretty much before the Mueller probe was over. I was still gathering evidence to prove his innocence. And all of a sudden, I realized that there was a frame-up, a deliberate one, at the highest levels of our government, and then a colossal pay-for-play scheme at the highest levels of the Obama administration, eerily similar to the Clinton Foundation, completely corrupt behavior in which the Clintons sold her office of Secretary of State for millions. In this case, the Biden sold his office for millions. Is there anybody that believes that Ukraine or China were paying for Hunter Biden's expertise? Or do you have the common sense to realize they were buying Joe Biden's office? And that is very damaging to the United States. Joe Biden was sent to Ukraine to in part deal with corruption, and he helped to corrupt the Ukraine. He is a laughingstock. We are, because we talk about corruption, and this guy puts his incompetent son to work for the most crooked oligarch in Russia. I mean, it is outrageous. The only really sad part of this, Sean, is how much in the tank and how corrupt this media has become. They have corruption staring them in the face, and they close their eyes to it. And then they make up charges against President Trump that aren't true. They don't look at this whistleblower. He is giving them hearsay evidence. The thing is filled with, I don't know, I heard, I overheard. There's not a single time he says, I know. Yesterday, I produced a witness who is under oath. He is willing to give his name. He is willing to testify. Maybe one of our Republicans in the Senate could call him. He's the guy that Biden fired. He's the guy that will testify under oath. He will face Biden and say, you corrupted my country. You got me fired on false pretext. And then you had the case against a corrupt company dismissed. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. Biden's corruption helped to cover up all of the allegations of collusion because there was a company involved run by George Soros, which was involved in the investigation, and that was closed down to cut off all of the proof, the additional proof of just how far the Democrats went in corrupting the 2016 election and in corrupting the Ukraine.
I want you to hear, because the bottom line is Democrats are going to have to pay a price if they persist on going after impeachment. We are going to have to make sure that we hold their feet to the fire. If this becomes what I call another dry hole, to borrow a phrase from the energy industry, from the gas and natural gas industry, a dry hole, there's just nothing there. And we're going to have to make sure that they pay a price. Karl Rove, this is cut six. Karl Rove was on Fox News Channel. We will get to him a little bit later on in the program, and you'll be able to hear in his own words. He honestly believes that we can take back the House if the Democrats persist. Yeah. Joining us now, and I'm so excited. I always love to talk to him because he and I have something in common, and it's called education. and he has dedicated his life to education, both as a private citizen, a parent, and as a state senator. And he joins us now in studio. Good morning, Scott Hammond. Good morning. It's good to have you in studio.
Good morning, Kevin. How are we doing today?
Boy, you dress better than most of the teachers I know. No, you're dressed for success, man.
I've come a long way. When I first got married, my wife used to have to lay my clothes out for me. You know,
Garanimals. Oh yeah. My God, I know that so well. I got an excuse. I'm legally colorblind, so you know, brown socks, gray trousers. That's me. That's me. I want to ask you that. You know, we're always concerned about education, the state of our education. Are we making progress? We've spent all this money. We got money coming in from a lot of different sources. First of all, are you satisfied? You know, where the money's going to come from to pay for all these teacher raises and things like that, and why column one increases? Are you convinced that we now know where that money's coming from?
Yeah, I mean, I'm convinced that the money was already there; it was in their budget, and so they're just moving things around. That we know. And you know, pretty soon they're going to tell us where the money was moved from one category to another.
But you still don't know that yet?
I don't know that. I did see the superintendent the other day and asked for a meeting so that I could sit down and talk to him about it. And other things, obviously, there's a lot on my list of things to do. And so there'll be a lot of conversations about that. But I'm pretty convinced that we don't have to worry. We're not going to go back to the legislature and fill a hole because of the promise raises.
There won't be a need for a special session to move money around or do anything like that?
Not at all. And again, if we're successful with our lawsuit that we're bringing against the speaker or the majority leader and others, the governor, in regards to SB 551, I think that if And I believe we'll be successful. And in that success, I don't think we'll need a special session again there either. I think there's plenty of money there.
But how do we fill that hole then? I mean, that's a pretty good size hole.
It's a $98 million hole. There's about $175 million of unspent, unallocated money in Carson City right now. Some of it one shot. Some of it can be used to be put into a budget going forward. Changed a little bit. But anyway... I believe that what would happen is that they would declare an emergency and then have a meeting of the I can't remember exactly the title, but they would end up talking to.
But it's the interim finance committee
the
or something.
IFC. So one entity would then call the IFC together and say, "Can you allocate the money until later time?" Which they can do, and then there's money there, and you can take money from the rainy day fund now, and then fill in that gap later on with the money that's there.
So talk about education, the state of education in the state of Nevada. And are we getting the bang for the buck we expect? We see some studies that show we're making progress. Others show we're not. Can you talk about where we are? And as a guy that has dedicated his life to education, both in public and private life, are we getting it done? I mean, are we seeing from, you know, all these what I call whiz-bang programs, are we seeing progress?
And it's such an open-ended question that you're asking me, because a lot of people can look and say, yeah, I can see some progress there. And obviously the goals, everything that we've always set for the last 10 years that I've been involved in this has always been, let's advance. How are we going to advance? I think we took a step back a little bit this last session, obviously with the funding formula change. And then monitoring that funding formula. The group met the other day to make sure that it's got that we'll be set to put that into place in the next biennium. I think that's a good step forward. I think they need to talk a lot and talk vigorously about how to make sure that there's equity among the rural areas as well. So that's a good step forward. But I'm still convinced that we took a bit of a step back when we started eliminating a lot of these private the school choice programs dealing with private pathways, if you will, for students to go to a place that really fits what their needs. And I still feel like that was the step backwards that we took. Hopefully my colleagues will wake up to the fact that education and the delivery of education, which is I've said it so many times here on this program and many other places, it's the delivery of education that's going to be changing. And you have to be able to have something in place to allow these entities to deliver the education in such a way that your student will learn something. And there's just so many different ways. I deal a lot now with career technical education. I deal with a lot of workforce development. And you can see now that they're starting to wake up to this idea that you know, there's lots of different ways to deliver this. And the kids, you know, don't necessarily all want to go to college. So what do they have? And so they have to wake up to the idea that workforce can be that delivery. And with workforce, you have a lot of people who would like to use sort of the project-based learning. Well, project-based learning is something new, but also something old, right? You used to work with your hands all the time when you were, you know, back in the old days, and then you know, apprenticeships and things like that, and you'd learn a skill, you learn skilled trades, and then you apply it later on. We're starting to see that. That way, students can actually see what math does. And I love that, and I think we're going towards that. But you're seeing, I think people are waking up to the idea that delivery of that, whether it be private, charter, public, what other means out there, they're starting to see that, you know, the education had to change. It has to change.
We've had Zoom schools, Victory schools, Read by Three. We've got all these different I call them whiz bang programs because it's innovative, mm-hmm. and we always like to be innovative. But the question is it moving the needle? Are you seeing numbers change?
I'm an optimist. I like to say, yes, you see some of the numbers change, but not nearly as well as we'd like to see. And I am seeing that some of the students are still struggling when they get out of high school, going into college, and having to take these remediation classes. I also look at the standards that we passed a couple years ago. So the whiz-bang programs aside, you still have the standards that everybody's dealing with, and you have to use those standards, whether or not you're in that program or using that whiz-bang program, as you described. And the standards are something that I'm worried about, because I still think that we're not getting the kids prepared for college if that's the direction they're going. College, you know, I also like to see kids going in the career as well. But if they're going for college, some of them are still behind in math, and some of them are still behind in reading because they're not getting to those standards early enough. And I kind of blame the standards that we have.
More with Scott Hammond, state senator from here in Southern Nevada. We'll talk a little bit more about education and what is going to be new in the coming years in education after an intense 80th Nevada legislature. We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
At its heart, free markets are about opportunity. I'm Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. Advancing freedom, empowering individuals with opportunity, well, that's at the core of Nevada Policy's mission. It's the reason our organization exists. We believe individuals who work hard, take risks, and are dedicated to building a future for their family, they deserve the opportunity to pursue their dreams without politicians and government getting in the way. And you know what? We're not alone. Nevadans from all walks of life partner with us to promote the kind of free market solutions that maximize opportunities for individuals. Together, we work to preserve and expand the kind of freedom that has made Nevada such an amazing place to live. Now, more than ever, we're taking this message to a more diverse audience, letting more Nevadans than ever before know exactly how we're working to keep this state free and prosperous for them. Visit NevadaPolicy.org to learn more and to support our important work today. That's NevadaPolicy.org. This Nevada Policy Update is brought to you by Jim Marsh Kia, Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
There comes a time when you have to decide, how am I going to vote? Well, here's an easy way to get things started. ClarkCountyRepublicans.org. No matter what your party affiliation, take a look at the Clark County Republicans. Easy to do, too. Just go to ClarkCountyRepublicans.org to see what they're up to of late and find out how easy it is to register for local, state, and federal elections at ClarkCountyRepublicans.org.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator from District 18. That's Centennial Hills. And he is also, he has a new gig.
Yeah.
Kind of a non-legislative gig. He is the Director of Community Outreach for the Nevada Contractors Association. First of all, what is the, I'm assuming it's a bunch of contractors.
Yeah, the Nevada Contractors Association is an association dealing with contractors, both union, non-union, anybody who goes out there and deals with construction, the construction world, which is an exciting world. I love being around. These are, you know, salt of the earth people who, you know, they love to work with their hands, like to build something. And, you know, I can't help but love that kind of mentality and lifestyle. I just love it when they talk about the project that they're on, the people they have employed. You know, I love that. And one of the things that they asked me to do is I said, can you go out there and start talking to principals and administrators and start talking about, you know, some of these programs that we could be developing so that we could teach kids about skills, you know, especially this construction area. And that's exciting to me. Again, I think education can be delivered a lot of different ways. And in some cases, kids just want to know, how does this apply? You know, how am I going to use this in the real world? And that's the one thing about, you know, construction trade or any of the trades is that it's hands-on, real-world stuff. I get to go out there and I get to talk to these principals and I can say, hey, here's a program that we could use in your school. And there's going to be a cohort of students who are going to want to do this. You know, this is going to hit their sweet spot. And that's what we're trying to get these kids to hit a sweet spot so that they can learn and be, you know, fulfilled in what they're doing, you know, have fewer problems in school, by the way. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to this, and I get to go out there and really develop it. That way, every school...
It sounds like fun.
Oh, it's blast. And one of the things I love, and I think people have really got to hold on to this, is that every school can be a little similar, but different as well, because we're trying to hit the sweet spot for every kid. And as we know, not every kid's the same.
I've got 3.5 minutes left. I want to devote some time to 1 October. Where were you when 1 October hit? What about the lasting legacy of 1 October? What did we learn anything? Can we prevent something like that from ever happening again?
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that the legacy, I wanted to get to that, but you know, I was at home, you know, I'm past 50. And so, you know, I'm at 9:30. I'm ready to, you know, start winding down the day. So I was at home. I saw it on the TV, called a few people to let them know what was going on. And then the next day I showed up. And I tell you what, to the 58 folks who lost their lives, and to the families, and to those who were wounded, to those who were, you know, affected by this, my heart goes out to them. But one of the things that we learned the next day is that Las Vegas really is a community. Well, we learned how to be a community again. I moved here in 1993, and one of the things that was sort of missing was that idea that you felt like you were connected to those folks around you. And it was, even back then, I remember people would pull in their garages, the garage door would come down, you didn't talk to your neighbor very often. I grew up in a small town. you know, in, you know, between the grades of third and high school graduation, the town fluctuated between 5 to 10,000 people. You know, between 5 to 10,000 people. The school was our community center. Everything went through the school. It was our cultural center. It was our entertainment center. It was, you know, it was our intellectual center. I mean, that's where people gravitated to. It was always, you know, community events were there. You know, and where I grew up, you know, we didn't need these sort of, you know, the Good Samaritan laws. We didn't need them because if you saw somebody on the side of the road, you pulled over and you said, "How can I help you?" You didn't let that person sit there for very long. That's the kind of community I grew up in. And I suspect a lot of people who were back in Las Vegas before the population explosion, I think that they probably felt that community as well. But when that population started to really climb, I think we lost that a little bit. I think people felt it. I felt it when I first moved here. The day after October 1, I felt it when we went down to the blood drive. It was down by the hospital, Valley Hospital. And all of a sudden, people were coming up from all over the place, dropping things off, saying hello to people. Even the politicians that showed up. I'll tell you, there's a few who were still in their suits and still looking for the TV time. But, you know, I'll tell you one. Senator Chris Brooks showed up, and he was ready to work. And he didn't tell anybody who he was. He just worked. And I loved working side by side with him because I think having grown up here, he probably felt the old Vegas coming back, that sense of community. And moving forward, I think that that's one of the things that has really, the legacy is we're a different Vegas than we were before October 1. Sports has really energized us. The Golden Knights. I mean, I can't go anywhere. I'm almost anywhere without hearing people say "Go Knights." I was in D.C. last week, went to a Capitals game. And all of a sudden, they're doing the national anthem, and you know the part that goes "Knights." And all of a sudden, people in the crowd, there was a few people in the crowd that yelled out "Knights."
Oh my God!
Knights!
Oh my God!
Because that's the kind of they've instilled that in us, and then going forward, the Raiders and all that.
And we're less than a year away from the Raiders. It's going to be so much fun.
So I think that the lesson we learn is that we really are a community. We're a community that cares. We're a community that goes out there and does things for each other. And I still see that. And you can see it going. And I was at an event the other day where, you know, a new autism center was coming up. The collaboration center is going up. And there were so many folks in that audience. They were there. It was a breakfast. They see that these new services that are coming on with, you know, private donations and governmental help from time to time. These are the things that are binding us together. So, yeah, I don't remember the gentleman who was there on October 1. I don't remember the shooter's name. I try not to think about him at all. I think about what changed here in Las Vegas the day after.
That's
and moving
amazing.
Forward.
That's amazing. Scott, always good, man. Thank you so much. You really, you scrub up really nice, though.
Oh, thank you.
Now that you're doing the corporate thing. you look great. Pinstripe suit. You're ready.
Hey, go Yankees.
Go Cardinals. Hey, that's Scott Hammond, State Senator, District 18, joining us. John Zarpalas from NPRI joins us next, live and local now.